Hi and welcome to another episode of the Option Plus podcast. As you can see and hear, maybe you have noticed that these episodes are quite irregular. I'm breaking the common wisdom of, you know, release podcast regularly at the same time, like every day, every Wednesday or every month and so on. But I think it is a good idea to do an episode when I have something interesting to say and not to bore you with my rambling when I've already said it in the previous episode and I don't have anything new to add. This time I've been quite busy with writing a lot of code, so that's why I have not been speaking to the camera as much. And what I've been doing is I've been writing really various programs, mostly open source. They're mostly on my GitHub, or at least I publish them when I finish at least a version that can compile and run and does something. And this is what this episode is also about. With AI, with new models, both open weights and closed, we have been given a superpower to create software. And by we, I'm expanding the definition of programmer. And there are many people who were not traditionally coders who can now write code using these tools. And in this episode, I'm asking a question: should we share the vibe coded stuff? Should we write and publish software that is maybe not neat, not perfect, maybe we don't even know how it works? And does it make sense to publish it if it will have maybe no users, maybe a few users, maybe it's just a buggy piece of code and people will laugh at us and so on? So I think writing software, open source, hacking is about tinkering. It is about playing, experimenting, trying new things. It doesn't mean that these things should be perfect from start to end, but we can play with them. And this talk that I will just roll in is a recording from DevHack Day, which is a part of BTC Prague for nerds. And last year I noticed that not all participants are actually coders, which is fine, because we need many more people than just coders. You know, the common saying, yes, cypherpunks write code, but they also write documentation, they make design, they make art, they promote, they figure out new ways to use these technologies, they participate in social media, organize events, and then they apply and use these technologies in various businesses and give us legal help and many, many other important things. So for hacking and tinkering, there is, I would say, I would expand the definition of who is the cypherpunks, not only write code, but do many of these other things. So I hoped that there will be some people who are not necessarily hardcore coders. And I spoke about tinkering and this process of experimenting and creating new things. So I hope you like it. Let's dive in.
I always liked to write code and release it. I was an early member of an open source movement, a free software movement. And I was coding since I was very young. I got my first computer when I was 7 years old, and the games were shitty, so I started to code instead. And then sometime I kind of was doing some other things, mainly Linux servers and so on, but I got back to playing, tinkering and open source. And this talk is about the long tail of open source, and I want to encourage you to create software, contribute, write, and do it, especially if the software is shitty, if you're not proud of it, and it has some benefits. So, I don't know. Okay. So you can become part of something that I call the GitHub graveyard. So most people, when we speak about open source, we talk about very successful software. Like the Linux kernel is used definitely on more than 3 billion devices. It's by far the most used operating system kernel in the world. Android phones run Linux kernel, routers, servers, many desktop computers, and so on. The second most popular kernel, which is Windows NT kernel, is not even close. It's like way farther in use. But I'm not talking about these widely successful open source software like the Linux kernel, Bitcoin Core, or many other applications that are used by many people. And when you read traditional Cathedral and the Bazaar and traditional philosophy of free and open source software, it usually talks about it is higher quality because given enough eyeballs, all bugs are shallow. People look at it, they fix things, they contribute things, and so on. But that's the core. But then there is the tail. These are the projects on GitHub that have no users and less than 3 stars. And they're basically failed by all conventional metrics. And I'm going to try to convince you that it's still a good idea to publish code like this. Maybe we are measuring it wrong. Maybe this is not a success. Maybe a success is a weekend hacking project that you share. And this also gives information to the community. Because even if the project fails, if you tried something and then realize, okay, this is not a good way to do it, if you don't share it, there will maybe be 10 other people that will try the same thing and also fail while they could have just, you know, looked at your software or looked at your experience. So in science, this is called the dark data. So many, many scientific papers try to prove some theory. They gather data, they have a theory, they gather data, and with the data, they reject their theory. So this is basically, people call it a failure of science because they set out to prove something and they proved it's not true. But if they don't publish this information, then there may be other scientists that will do the same thing and they will also prove that it's not true. So it's better if they can just read the paper and say, okay, someone thought this about reality or about whatever, medicine, about something they were investigating in this scientific search, and they realized, okay, it doesn't work this way, but it's useful information. It saves time to other people. On the other hand, open source and hacking is not scientific. It's about tinkering. It's about, you know, playing with things, trying to do small changes, maybe do some experiments, and you can see this in a 3D printing community. Okay, there's a cup. What if I do the handle this way? And people play and do small adjustments. And if they share it, it's maybe useful to someone. But then people say it's the fear of the ship, you know, this code is not polished enough. I will release it when I write the documentation or when I remove all the to-do lines or to-fix lines or whatever. Very common is I will rewrite this in Rust. Now it's in Python, but I will release it when it will be rewritten in a proper language. Then another reason why people don't ship is nobody will use this, which might be true. All of them might be true, actually. Maybe better projects exist, but then why did you write it? Maybe you just wanted to learn something, but maybe you wrote it because something was wrong about the original project. So maybe there's a better project that exists, but that didn't meet your needs. So you wrote the project because there was something wrong about the big project. Sometimes also might be true, it's too specific to my workflow. For example, I have a software that does one thing, it's one button and it opens the gate in our building, which is a relay, very specific to my workflow, but maybe other people want to open doors as well. So does it make to release anyway, even if any of this is true? Maybe it's a good idea to release anyway. So this is very controversial. I have to say I'm a proper programmer. I even studied it. I have paper with a stamp that I studied computer science. So when I say this among my peers, they usually don't agree, but I love ugly code. Like it's common story. There's a new engineer that comes to a company that had like an internal system. They've been developing it in PHP spaghetti code for 15 years, and they come and they like hold their head and they say, okay, well, this is the worst code ever. And the only thing you can do with this code is rewrite it. When I hear this, first of all, I love the ugly code. Like if someone has been working on it for 15 years, even if it's ugly code, if it's spaghetti code, it kind of absorbs all the needs over the 15 years, all the specifics. And if it works, if it's useful, it doesn't matter that it's ugly. I think what matters is if it solves the problem, and it maybe have ugly user interface, or, you know, it's not properly abstracted, there are no modules or something. But if it solves the problem, I think we should kind of praise the code. And what people don't see when they look at the ugly code is that it's quite hard because the specifications are changing over years. If it's something that's been developed over 15 years, it has a lot of knowledge in there, even though it doesn't have beautiful architecture. So often, I drove here with a car that has a Coma AI, which is open source, free and open source self-driving kit. I don't know if any of you know Coma. It's basically an AI-based self-driving, so I don't have to drive. It is actually on par with Tesla self-driving, but you can install it in many normal standard cars. So I have a Volkswagen. So I drove here. And about a month ago, I was kind of curious, okay, this is a fastly developing field and I didn't get an update for the software for 1 year. So I looked at their GitHub and they said that they are rewriting the code. So then I realized, okay, this project is dead. So let's look for the forks. There is a fork that is called FrogPilot, which is up to date, released monthly, is not being rewritten, and it has jumping frogs on the screen, so it looks like kind of silly, makes the frog sounds when you engage the autopilot. So I really hate when someone says, okay, this is all wrong, let's just rewrite it, because usually people will waste year of their time into rewriting. And then the new requirements start coming in and the nice new code will again not be so nice. So it's not a permanent solution. It's just, you know, freshly graduated engineer had a good idea. We need to rewrite this because this is shit. So the problem is the rewrite is often never finished. So it's just a waste of time and the project dies. The only thing I hate more is when they say we are going to rewrite it in Rust, because that means that even if they rewrite it, it will have zero contributors because no one likes to write Rust code, or maybe like there's 5%, like compared to Python or PHP, it's very hard to write in Rust. So embrace the shitty code, doesn't matter that it's written in a shitty language, if it works, and please don't rewrite for... Like maybe there are some cases when it's good idea to rewrite, maybe some cases even when it's good idea to rewrite in Rust. But just, you know, it's okay. Don't worry that it's ugly code. Just publish it. If it has users, maybe you can fix the ugly parts later. Maybe you will get some pull requests, but most probably you will not get many users and you don't have to make it polished and nice. Now with AI coding, there's this thing that happened, and it happened before in other fields. So now everyone who has a smartphone is a photographer, and everyone who sets up a blog on Medium or Habla or Noster or X or wherever, is basically a journalist. We can write about our opinions, about our things. We can take pictures of our holidays and so on. And like these hobby photographers, they are not afraid to, you know, show their photos from their travels to their friends just because they're not professional photographers. Yes, the photos are not as nice as like super artsy photographers with fancy cameras and knowing how to do composition, but the professional photographers are not traveling with you all the time, so they couldn't have made pictures from your travels, so only you could have. And I think it's the same case with the code. Many people are going to write code, especially using AI, even people who don't know how to code really well. Now it's literally vibe coding. You write a prompt and you have a software. And like, if I take my degree out of my pocket and I would look at the code, I would say, oh, okay, I see this was written by AI. There are 5 bugs here and it's a shitty code. But I don't live your life. I would not have written the code for you because you wanted to write it. So why not publish it? It's like, it doesn't matter. The same way as my photos, when I want to publish them, I publish them because there's no professional photographer following me around. So don't worry about ugly code. So maybe your hacky script is someone's missing piece. Maybe your failed experiment is someone's free experience. And maybe your thinking process is someone's inspiration. This one is important because especially with permissionless technologies such as Bitcoin, Nostr and so on, we can do many experiments. And it's maybe not the software that implements the experiment, but the idea. But people can see, okay, I will give you a few examples actually. Maybe this is a way to do it. Maybe I won't use the software. I will play with the software and then I will rewrite it in a way. But the idea is expressed in the software. So that's how you can write a blog about it. But if you have an implementation, people can play with the implementation and then write it properly. So that's another reason to release it. So I give you first example. I have a few. So I have this device called Pulzetto. It's a vagal nerve stimulator. Vagal nerve is the longest nerve in the body that relaxes your body. And I went to a music festival and there was a giant storm, like portable toilets were flying around. It's really windy. So I went into my camper van. Electricity was off. My cell towers were off. I was a little bit stressed. You know, I was looking if my friends are safe. I couldn't contact them because the mobile network was off. So I said, oh, perfect time for vagal nerve stimulation. I need to calm down. So I put it on. I started the app. The app basically sends the command via Bluetooth to the device to turn on. But it needs to connect to internet to verify my account. There's no subscription, but it just didn't start because I was not online. So I said, okay, this is fucking stupid. I don't want this, you know, device to connect to the internet just to send signal to start electric stimulation. So I released an open source software. I think it has 3 users, me, my wife, and maybe one more user. I've heard someone used it. For me, it's not about how many users it has. It solves my problem. It runs on my phone. It's published online. So if I buy a new phone, I can just get it through Optanium on my phone again. And I learned how to reverse engineer Bluetooth low energy. So that was a learning experience for me. The code is very shitty. It is written in some framework that I don't even know. It was completely vibe coded. I did only the reverse engineering part, but then everything else, the GUI, was written by, I think, ChatGPT. I don't even know. So yes, it's a software, doesn't have many users, but I put it out there. If anyone has this problem, they can use it, they can Google it and do it. So I think we should be building for the joy of building, the same way as people are taking pictures, even though they're not professional photographers. I encourage you to write software just because it's fun. And these days it's incredibly fun, even if you're not very, very tech savvy. So
what should you release? Gists. Gists are a special thing on GitHub that is just one file, usually one script with documentation in comments for things you do daily. So you solve something once and you share it and people can use it. They just install it usually as a shell or Python script. For example, I have gist called Whisper file. So you get any video or audio file and it will transcribe it locally using open source Whisper speech to text models. But it does all the auto conversion. So it doesn't matter what the format the file is in. You do just Whisper file and then path to an MP3 or M4A or MP4 or whatever. And you will get TXT file and a SRT file with the subtitles, which includes timing, and you have a transcription. Then another one is YT Whisper, which is the same thing, but it takes a YouTube URL. So it downloads the video, extracts audio, and then transcribes it. So if you want just to look in some video, see what they've been talking about and so on. Venice IMG was used to generate all these images. So basically when you have these AI image generation models, you need to type the prompt, you press enter and you wait for, I don't know, half a minute, 1 minute. This one uses API and does it in parallel. So what I did, I took the PDF of this presentation, I gave it to 4 different AI models and I said, describe me cool pictures that could go along with this presentation. I just set the aspect ratio for vertical because I have the space on the right side. And then I just generated all of them in parallel. So in 2 minutes, I got 400 images and I just chose the nice ones. So you can do it. It's just literally one short Python script. I've been publishing my .dot files. It's all the macros in the shell and things that makes your shell more useful. Another thing you can release are weekend experiments. What if? So I will show you this one a little bit later. But for example, I'm in many Signal groups with a lot of messages, and sometimes I want to have an overview of what is happening. So I have a software, I give it 1 month of messages from a Signal group. It uses AI to basically summarize it, extract all the links, describe images, transcribe voice messages, and it basically creates one nice summary of what has been going on. So my friend is using this for a newsletter he's writing. It's a Liberation Travel newsletter, and it basically summarizes discussions from many groups that this company Liberation Travel has for its clients. I think we have, I don't know, 10, 12 Signal groups, and that's the source of the content. So it's a nice weekend experiment. This weekend lasted for 4 months. Actually, it's not as easy as it sounds, but it's out there. I will talk about this one later. Personal automation, basically your workflow is someone's inspiration. So for example, RSS to podcast, I want to read blogs, but I don't have time to look in the on the screen. So when I'm driving, or actually when my car is driving itself, I have time to read blogs, but I don't want to look because I want to look on the road. So this software will create personal podcast for me from the blogs that I want to read. I also release it online as a service, which is called loadit4.me. So if you want to read some blogs in audio form, this will basically do text to speech in a very fancy way. It's also quite nice inspiration of how it's done. It's quite fancy actually. Then there's like video summarize. So if someone like wants to hear a summary of this talk, they can take the transcript and get the main points. So it's a command line utility I use. Oh, there's a nice talk. I want to just see what they're talking about. So I download it, transcribe it, summarize it, and I have like a one pager to see if I want to actually see the video. Some stupid ideas. So I wrote a software that sends cashew tokens over a long range radio over reticulum. It's called NADBand. I have a very nice video showing how you can
contact your 3D printer filament dealer in case of apocalypse, and you can play with this. My very recent project, I think started working about a week ago, was creating any cashew tokens for any fiat currency. So if it has a price feed, you can do Czech crowns over cashew or anything like that. It's on my GitHub, or read about it on my Nostr. So then we have the discovery problem, and this is something that is not solved. So GitHub search is broken for small projects. Like if you are trying to look for something, it is very difficult to see if someone has written this software or something like that. There is almost no curation for niche tools like my Pulzeto software. There's a lot of signal lost in even more of noise. So what works? Personal blogs, notes, you can just share, okay, I built this, and people can play with it. Then there should be, I have a friend, and he used to do this thing. He would open Facebook and he would say, oh, let's show our female friends to each other. But I never got to show him mine because he was showing me his. So I started doing this on GitHub. I was just showing people, oh, these are my 50 repositories that I've done, and people just sharing this with each other. Crowdfunding is very useful for discovery, actually, because with crowdfunding, you have to do marketing. It gives you users buy-in. So basically what I did, I've done one software, which is called Olama Like Venice. I did crowdfunding. Basically, if you supported the project, you could get the source code right away. And then it was released as free and open source when it reached the funding goal. So this makes it more marketing intensive. You have to focus, okay, you need to promote your crowdfunding campaign. It's not easy, but you will write much better code because people paid for it. So you're not gonna, you know, give them shit, of course. But also when people invest it in your code, they will at least try it. Maybe they will not use it, but it's this notion of, oh, okay, I paid, I don't know, 10,000 sats for it. So at least I'm going to download and play with it. So it's actually creating this barrier was very helpful for this. Then if people are doing something and you have solved it in a software, that is like when I see something doing something on a Linux machine and they're not very good, I have this urge to kind of punch them and, you know, steal their keyboard and show them how it's done. So share your software like this. Oh, why are you transcribing a video in so complicated way? Just run this script and it does everything for you. And lightning talks are really nice. Okay, and now we are approaching the end. This is one of the projects. This generates, it's basically an Nostr client. This is the NPub version for things when you want to share something, but you don't want to share it under your own name. But creating one-time use NPub doesn't make sense because no one will read it. So this is a shared identity. The private key is derived only from the password. So basically here you write what you want to write. When you write the password, the private key is derived. You press this button and it's published under this shared identity. And then you just spread the password among the cool people and you have a community of anonymous microblog of people. No one knows who it is and so on. So vibe coding is very cool. Please ship. I will skip over this a little bit. But basically, we are all going to run our own AI inference. And the only challenge or only ask is when you vibe code something, please write how to use it and how to deploy it. You know, no one knows how to install your specific version of Node.js. It can be actually generated also. So write good documentation. So building in public, why? Code diary, you enable serendipity. You create breadcrumbs for other people. And the thinking process is also interesting. Maybe you learn about some better and bigger software that solves the same problem. That's and how to do it, write a good readme, why I build this, how to deploy, and so on. Share failures and the ask, you are a coder now, if you have AI, ship at least one useless project per month and share it on Noster. Thank you very much. This is how you can contact me and what you can talk with me about. So thank you very much.
We could do, I didn't see you were there. We could do one or two questions maybe. If you're still around for 5 minutes, we could take that sure. The break if you're interested. Anyone has any questions for Yuval? There's one, there's two down here.
There.
I'll take it.
Thank you.
As you mentioned earlier, there's a search engine in the GitHub is broken. And what about the white coding? There should be a tool to filter the repository that has been white coded because of the searching. I think maybe the step and the next step should be, there should be a tag at least, I white coded and this record. So maybe you don't spend maybe 12 hours to just look at the code because maybe even the owner doesn't know what deploy.
I think that's not the problem. The problem is finding, like, you are doing something super niche, like my, you know, Pulsetto device. And how do you even find for it? Because when you search, you find 50 projects that don't solve the problem that you are solving. So one of the solutions we were trying was using this kind of software to just share cool projects. But the problem is that the domain is too wide. So it is very hard to find if someone has even tried to vibe code something. As I said, you know, I'm not against shitty code. It's okay. Like, I can look at the code. You can ask AI to see if there are any backdoors and so on. So run it in a virtual machine. It doesn't matter. The problem is to actually see if someone has done anything related to what you want to do to save you time. Maybe you will not use the code, maybe you will just use the ideas, maybe you will just take the readme and vibe code it yourself or something like that. So that's not the problem. The discovery problem is there are hundreds of thousands, millions of projects, and there will be many more because of vibe coding. And how do you find if you have to actually code something or just use someone else's software and improve it maybe?
All right, we got one more question here.
Yeah, so I really like this project. I'm not a developer, I'm a marketer, but I really like the idea of shared identity. So how can I actually use it in real life? Like, can I deploy this to Instagram, to X, or some social media? Or
so this is Noster only, but this website is called NPAP Pro. You get it for free from any Noster identity. And this is one HTML file where you basically say, you basically just paste the NPAP. So in the readme of my project called Anon Microblog, there's a how-to. It's very easy to set up. It takes like 5 minutes. So if you want, I can help you even write me. And I've set up, there are, I think, at least three instances of this, no, four, that I know of that are running, and it's literally super easy. So you need a profile picture and an idea. And basically NPAP Pro gives you a link up there for posting, and it can be used from the web. So this is a Noster account. So you can follow this account on Noster and repost, reply, everything. But most users even don't know that there is Noster behind, because this looks like a blog and there's a website where you have, okay, this is where you write what you want to post, and this is where you write your secret password, and you click publish. There's no backend. Everything is on Noster Relays, so you don't have to worry about any kind of infrastructure. If you can host one HTML file, which I can host for you, which is this one, then you get everything else in the ecosystem for free. So I'll gladly help you. Just write me email or whatever, and I'll set it up for you. It's super easy.
Thank you. Is there any other questions? No? All right.
There was one here.
You mainly talked, I think, about like personal projects of yours. Does your mentality change when you actually come to an existing project, even if it's also a very small one? Because there are other people involved who maybe don't like the idea of ugly or vibe code.
Yes, definitely. The first thing that you need to do is to understand how to wire it in and how the people do. So, for example, the Fiat with Cashew that I was doing, first I had to learn, okay, how are actually tokens issued here? What's the structure of the project and so on? And you are aiming for minimal changes. So if you want to incorporate in there, you don't want to change too much of their code, because then it's a maintenance hell and so on. So you want to concentrate your code in like a separate module and do the minimal changes there. So it definitely changes how you look at the project. You can use AI to understand the project itself as well. It can look at the code and tell you, okay, how things are done. You should also include the documentation in the prompts, so the AI understands what the project is about. But so I'm not saying you should wipe code everything. I also write some code, so mainly the boring things like parsing command line options. I don't want to write the stupid parser. You know, I just say, this is how I want to call it. Please parse it and put it into variables, and that part is great. Like, I wouldn't have written it any better. So it does, like, I think AI writes better code than 90% of programmers. So I'm not bashing the output of the AI. It's actually quite nice. So yeah, but it changes. Like, if you're interacting with some other code and you eventually want it merged, then you need to do it the way they do it, basically. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Option Plus podcast. This is a value for value production. If you liked it, I hope you used service such as Fountain.fm or any other app or podcast player that supports giving value back, and that you were streaming some sets. I appreciate feedback, and in the value for value ecosystem, you can attach feedback to something that is called a boost. So you can send however many sets you like and give comments, questions, and so on. Thank you very much for listening. Bye.